are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the most holy name of the Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 167, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3, from the section pertaining to the preaching and miracles of Jesus. Today, we will begin reading number 18, Jesus in Kiriathaim and Abram. Jesus went with the disciples around the environs of Safed and cured many sick who had been brought out of the houses and laid on the road by which he was to pass. Early in the morning, he sent one of the nephews of Joseph of Arimathea, along with Seraphia's son, to the neighboring town of Kiriathaim, about 3 hours from Safed, with a commission to prepare the inn. He and the disciples left Safed some time after. The disciples scattered here and there on the road, while Jesus also went along teaching and healing. He went first westward, between Bethon and Elsis, after which the road turned toward the south, somewhat beyond Elsis, near which was a beautiful mountain, lay a little oval lake, as large as that near the baths of Bethulia. It was the source of a stream that flowed down into the valley, which southeast of Kiriathaim declined into that of Capernaum. This valley was narrow in some parts, wide in others, and extended 7 hours before reaching Capernaum. On the way to Kiriathaim, Jesus was met by some demoniacs who entreated him to help them. They told him that the disciples had not been able to relieve them, and that they thought he could do better than they. Jesus replied that the disciples had not relieved them. It was not the fault of the disciples, but their own want of faith, and he commanded them to go to Kiriathaim and remain fasting until he should deliver them. He let them wait a while and do penance. Half an hour from Kiriathaim, Jesus was received by the Levites of the place, the school teachers accompanied by their children, and many of the good inhabitants who had come out to meet him. The two disciples who had gone on ahead to prepare the inn were also there. They received Jesus near a bathing garden, which was supplied with water conducted through a canal from that little stream of which I have spoken. The garden was full of beautiful trees, flowers, and covered walks, and enclosed by a rampart and an astonishingly dense hedge. They washed the feet of Jesus and his disciples and entertained them with the usual refreshments. Jesus here instructed the children for a little while and gave them his blessing. It may have been nearly 5 o'clock when they started for the city, which lay upon a hill overlooking the valley. The whole way to the synagogue, Jesus healed many sick of all kinds whom he met in the streets. In the synagogue, he again taught on the Beatitudes, also of the punishment of those Levites that had dared to lay their hands upon the Ark of the Covenant. And yet, greater chastisements, he said, would fall upon those that would lay hands on the Son of Man, of whom the Ark was only a symbol. While in Kiriathaim, Jesus put up at a hired inn, which had been furnished with necessaries out of the common stock of the community by the two disciples sent on ahead. The food was prepared at a house in the city, where also cooking for the sick was done. The Levites ate with Jesus and the disciples. Kiriathaim was a Levitical city, and in it were no Pharisees. A couple of its families were related to Zachary. Jesus visited them and found them very much troubled on John's account. He recalled to them the wonders that had preceded and accompanied John's birth, and spoke of his mission and wonderful life. He reminded them likewise of many circumstances attendant on the birth of Mary's son, showed them that John's fate lay in the hands of God, and that he would die when he had fulfilled his mission. Jesus prepared them in this way for John's death. The possessed, whom he had sent to Kiriathaim on the preceding day, and many other sick, accosted him near the synagogue on the subject of their cure. He healed several, but others he sent away to fulfill certain prescriptions of fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. He did this here rather than elsewhere, because the people of this place were earnest in the keeping of the law. After that, he repaired with the disciples to the garden in which he had been received, where he taught and the disciples baptized. Encamped under tents in the neighborhood were pagans awaiting Jesus' coming. They had already been in Capernaum, whence they had been ordered here. There were in all about 100 baptized. They stood in the water around a basin, Peter and James the less baptized, while the others laid their hands on the neophytes. In the evening, Jesus taught in the synagogue, his subject being the 8 Beatitudes. He spoke also of the false consolation of the false prophets who had rejected the menaces of the true, whose prophecies had nevertheless been fulfilled. He repeated his threats against those that would not receive him, who was sent by God. Leaving Kiriathaim, Jesus went with the disciples toward the south. He was as solemnly escorted on his departure by the Levites and the schoolchildren as he had been received on his entrance. The people of Kiriathaim were engaged in the transportation of goods and the manufacture of vestments for priests out of the silk that they imported from afar. On the southern declivity of the opposite side of the valley, where lay a place called Nason, there was a sugarcane plantation whose products formed a staple of trade. Jesus ascended that height, while the disciples scattered among some of the places more to the east of the valley. Jesus taught near Nason those whom he met coming from Capernaum, among them some idolaters. On such occasions, Jesus was frequently accompanied a part of his way by crowds. I saw him curing several, among others, two poor cripples who were lying on the roadside. He took them by the hand and commanded them to rise. They immediately wanted to follow him, but he forbade them to do so. He traversed another valley, arrived at a height situated before the city of Abram, in the tribe of Aser, and put up at an inn outside the city, where were found beautiful gardens and pleasure grounds. There were only two disciples with Jesus when he entered the inn, the others not having yet arrived. The country here on the eastern side of the high ridges that run from Libanus down to the valley of Zebulun was rich in meadowland and very charming. Herds of cattle and camels were grazing in the high grass. Westward toward the lake, orchards were more numerous. Abram was situated about 3 hours south of Kiriathaim, but Jesus, not having followed the direct route, was certainly 5 hours on his journey thither. In the evening, Thomas, John, and Nathanael joined Jesus in the inn. The others were still in the neighboring towns. The mountain upon which Abram was built formed in its length the boundary between Naphtali and Zebulun. The steward of the inn laid before Jesus a dispute, which he begged him to decide. It had reference to the wells in the vicinity used for watering the cattle. As the two tribes were so near each other in this place, and their pasturage so extensive, altercations on the subject of the wells were frequent. The host thus addressed Jesus, "Lord, we will not let thee go until thou dost decide our quarrel." Jesus' decision was something like this. They should, from each side, set free an equal number of cattle, and from whichever side the greater number went of their own accord to the wells, that side should have the greater right to the said well. Jesus drew from this circumstance matter for a profoundly significant instruction on the living water that he himself would give them, and which would belong to those that most earnestly desired it. The next day, Jesus went into Abram, which was in two sections, and on two different roads. It was like two separate villages interspersed with numerous gardens. The teachers of the school came out of the city to meet Jesus, washed his feet, and escorted him to the synagogue. On the way thither, he cured many sick and crippled, whom he found lying on the street. Also, some old people languishing from weakness, and some demoniacs, who, though not actually furious, were running about muttering to themselves like silly, vicious creatures. They came involuntarily to where Jesus was again, and again repeating the words, "Jesus of Nazareth! Jesus, prophet! Thou Son of God! Jesus of Nazareth!" Jesus delivered them by a blessing. In the synagogue, he taught of the Beatitudes, and from some passages of the prophet Malchus. There were in Abram Sadducees, Pharisees, and Levites, also two synagogues, for each section of the city had its own. The Sadducees had their own special synagogue, but Jesus did not teach in it. The Pharisees conducted themselves very politely toward Jesus. His inn was distant, about a good quarter of an hour from the southern end of the city, and was one of those established by Lazarus for his convenience. The steward was a married Assyrian, a descendant of the family of that Zacharias, who was murdered between the temple and the altar. His wife was the granddaughter of one of Anne's sisters. They had grown children and possessed herds and meadows near that field in which Joachim had tarried before Mary's conception. Having little occupation at home, they had come hither to take charge of the inn. Later on, they were relieved by others. Like all the others, this inn was supplied with all kinds of necessaries, though not with superfluities. It had also its garden, its field, and its well. There were no pagans in Abram, but down the mountain were some groups of houses inhabited by them. The apostles and disciples whom Jesus had left near Kiriathaim came back again to the inn, as did also Andrew and Matthew. Thomas and James the less went instead of them to Achzib in the tribe of Aser, between 10 and 12 hours westward. 20 men accompanied Andrew. Some were strangers, and some had been cured and wanted to hear Jesus' instructions. The two apostles related how things had gone with them, how all had prospered with them, namely healing, exercising, preaching, and baptizing. Many sick and many seeking advice and consolation came to Jesus' inn. Most of them were cripples with deformed limbs, old, emaciated people, demoniacs, and infirm females, the latter of whom were in a chamber apart. The paralytics whom Jesus had healed the day before, who wanted to render assistance near the other sick. But he refused their help, saying that he was come to serve and not to be served. Jesus taught and healed the whole morning, and had besides to settle a dispute concerning the wells. As the confines of Aser, Naphtali, and Zebulun here met, and the people carried on cattle raising there, arose frequent discussions on the subject of the wells. One man complained that another made use of the well that his ancestor had dug. He submitted this case to Jesus, saying that he would abide by his decision, though he did not wish to sacrifice lightly the rights of his children. Jesus decided that he should bore for a well in another field, which he pointed out to him. There he would find better and more abundant water. Between 20 and 30 Jews were baptized, among them those that had come hither with Andrew and Matthew. As there was here no brook in which they could stand, the neophytes knelt in a circle and were baptized out of a basin with the hand. After that, Jesus went into the city. This concludes our reading today. We'll pick up tomorrow where we left off. And now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. One of the things we hear today is that Jesus is confronted by individuals who say, "We have not been able to be healed by your disciples, by your apostles. And Jesus tells them it's not the fault of the disciples, but that they need a greater faith and that they need to fast. And Jesus will cure them, but he's sending them off for a little while longer so that they might pray and believe and make atonement. That was another thing that was said later on in the reading. He sent away to fulfill certain prescriptions of fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. Well, what does that remind you of? It reminds you of the season of Lent. Those are the three hallmarks: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So if Jesus is saying these are things necessary to procure healing and such, well, what a healing time then the season of Lent is. Maybe remember that the next time Lent comes around. And then we have these individuals. Jesus being accompanied by the crowds. He cured several, among others, two poor cripples who were lying on the roadside. He took them by the hand and commanded them to rise. They immediately wanted to follow him, but he forbade them to do so. Why would he forbid them? Maybe they still have a little more work to do, or maybe he wishes them to testify by the fact that being crippled and now healed, that they can speak volumes to that. But as I was reading this, what really struck me, you know, these two cripples on the side of the road. We hear this a lot in the Gospels, like Bartimaeus, the blind man on the side of the road. But that Jesus sees them. Now, we don't have cripples on the roads in the United States. Maybe we have homeless, we have beggars. Go to a foreign country and you'll probably see cripples on the side of the road. I know I did when I was in Guatemala. But maybe as we go about and, you know, just the other day I exited off the freeway in my travels and there in the middle of the median was a person with a sign. And maybe as we see people like that, people on the side of the road begging, maybe instead of judging them and wondering if they're legitimate or not, maybe we just say a prayer for them. That we notice them like Jesus would have noticed them. Finally, in the final paragraph of our reading today, this individual comes to Jesus and asks him about his well and kind of property disputes. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you a land better, more abundant. If Jesus is saying this about a man digging a well, imagine that what he would say to us about eternal life. After the life you live on earth, there's something better that awaits you. What Moses was told, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so we anticipate the good things that the Lord has in store for us. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.